We'll begin over there. The halacha is that tzricha lachtos shineha shlo yehei bahem davar chutzeitz, that you have to clean out your teeth so there should be no chatzitza. If you were tovelas and you find a shum davar davuk bahem, then the tevila is no good. And as a result, there are women who have a practice not to eat meat the day when they go to the mikvah, so that there should be nothing, no meat that remains between the teeth. And you should also not eat anything between the rechitza and the tevila. Now, of course, this all comes from the episode that comes up in Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis about Amsa de Beit Rebbe, who went to the mikvah, and she found a etzem bein shineha, she found a bone between her teeth, and as a result, Hitzricha Rebbe Tevila Acheres. Rebbe said that the bone that was lodged between the teeth was a chatzitza, and she needed another tevila based on this. Now, the smag that's quoted in the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch over here extend the halacha that it's not true only of a bone, but it's true also of meat that is lodged between the teeth. This extension is not unanimous. As the Sefer Mishmeres HaTahara notes, the tshuva of the Maharam of Rutenberg assumes that the din is true only of a bone, that meat between the teeth is not considered a hakpada. Now, a bone between the teeth, we understand people really don't want there, but the meat, he assumes that often you have stuff that is between your teeth and it's a little dirty, but you don't care about it, so therefore it's not a hakpada. Nonetheless, we should not change from the Pesach Shulchan Aruch that meat is also a hakpada. Stuff that is stuck between the teeth is also a hakpada. The Bir Hagra over here cites the source of this minhag of women not eating any meat the day when they go to the mikvah. The source of that minhag is a Rush. The Rush, quoted in the Beis Yosef and in the Halachos Shenohagos Hanoshim, that the Rush says that you should, that it's a minhag yafeh. He says it's a nice minhag not to eat meat the day that you go to the mikvah. The Gra says that this idea is really analogous or the same as the Halachin Yeridei Simen Peites. We know that we wait 6 hours between meat and milk. And there's a machlekes harishonim between, let's say, Rashi, although Rashi seems to have both reasons there in Chulin, and the Rambam, as to what's the reason we're waiting between meat and milk. And the Rambam assumes that the reason is because that we're worried about basar ben hashinayim. So therefore the Gaon says, if basar ben hashinayim is a concern, then meat gets lodged between the teeth. So as a result, the minhag is not to eat any meat the day when you go to the mikvah. However, this halacha is clearly only a minhag, and as such, if the Taz over here in Sifkat and Chof Hay notes that on Shabbos and Yontiv that you are allowed to eat meat, the reason for that seems to be along the lines of the following Nitziv. In Brachos Daf Vav. In Brachos Daf Vav, there's a halacha that if a person goes to Minyan all the time and doesn't show up one day, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu inquires, where is he? Where was Shmendrik? How came he wasn't at Minyan today? I didn't see him, God asks. And then the Gemara continues that if Shmendrik wasn't at Minyan because he was being involved in the Dvar Mitzvah, so God says, okay, ciao. But if Shmendrik wasn't involved because it's a Dvar HaRishus, so then God says, are you really going to suffer? That's the Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav. Is that the Nitziv in Merom Esada that the Pshat in this Gemara really is that davening with a minion regularly, please do not quote anyone that I said this because I will have to deny it, but Zach the Nitziv that davening with a minion is not a strict obligation. It's just a minhag tov. It's an opportunity for your tefillos to be answered. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eino Moes B'Tfilosa Mishor Rabin. So davening with a minyan is an opportunity for your tefillos to be answered. So it's a minhag. It's a nice thing to daven with a minyan. So when you have a minhag, and they're not doing the minhag, so usually you suffer for not doing minhag. A minhag is binding mitam neder. But when the minhag ends up being the source of not fulfilling a real din, so then we say, obviously, you don't do the minhag and you keep the real din. So Mamela, this person who didn't go to Minyan that day, if that person is being Osik in the Dvar Mitzvah, so God says, okay, Shmendrik, that's fine, right? Because the Minhag ends up getting involved against the real din. In such situations, we discard the Minhag. Similarly, there's a position of the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid about Tzliyas Karban Pesach, no? The Torah tells us that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, Rosho, Al-Kra'av, Val-Kirbo. You have to roast the entire animal. The problem is, what do you do about like the Gid HaNosha? So Gid HaNosha, right, could be a problem, no? Well, Gid HaNosha isn't really nice in time, but still, so you have to take out the Gid HaNosha. What about the Shuman HaGid? Shuman HaGid, the Gemara says that Yisrael Kedoshim Nahagubo Iser. So what do you do about the Shuman HaGid? So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes about whether you do Nikar in the Shuman HaGid or not. In fact, the Ravid says about the Rambam's Korban Pesach that if I would be there, I'd throw it in his face. Right? And I'd say, get rid of your Korban Pesach. What's the issue? The issue is that Shuman HaGid is a minhag. When you have a minhag that, right, this is in the Kuntra Seishiurim, in the back of Kedushin. He has a kuntras about minhagim. If the minhag ends up interfering with the ikar hadin, so we discard the minhag. We already spoke about this in the context of Orthodox and Fratoli, in the Galia Masechta's context. But here also we have another example of that din, of a minhag interfering with the real din, which is that there's a minhag not to eat meat, but on certain times there's a real din. Like in Yontif, for example, there's a real din you have to eat meat. So in those situations, obviously what we do is we discard the minhag. What?
Women, not for women.
So not for women. So that's a good question. So apparently, there is some kiyum ha-mitzvah that if they eat meat, they are mekayim a mitzvah of simchas yontif on some level. So that seems to be the pshat over here. Alternatively, you could just say that when they instituted the minig of not eating meat, they didn't institute the minig on Shabbos and yontif. And the achrayim have long discussions about other days on Purim. Are you allowed to eat meat on Purim? Do you have to eat meat on Purim, by the way? Can you have a milchik Purim se'uda? Chas v'shalom. That's really modern Orthodox. That's terrible, no? A milchik, I really should not say these lines. I could get in trouble. A milchik Purim se'uda, that doesn't sound Jewish. L'maisa, what's the real? So the Magen Avraham, right, discusses whether you have to have basar at Seudas Purim. The minig is that people do have meat at Seudas Purim. No? Yemei, Mishta, V'simcha, we try to have meat at Seudas Purim also. Does that mean that you could eat meat when you go to the day that you're going to go to the mikvah? If you go into the mikvah the night after Purim, can you eat meat in that situation? So the Pashtus is, the Reb Feivel Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan passes that you can eat meat. In the Miluim, in the back of the Badei HaShulchan, he quotes this really a machlokes ha-poskim, whether you're allowed to eat meat in these situations, because it could be that meat is not really required at Seudas Purim. But he notes in the text itself that even if you are make on eating meat, you cannot eat meat after nightfall. Right, generally, the practice is that you begin Seudas Purim late in the day and continue at night. After nightfall, l'chor, you're not mekayim the inyan of Seudas Purim at all. So in that situation, you should not be eating meat in that case. That's what the Bible paskins in the Badei HaShulchan. I think there's room to debate that point also, that it's all considered a hemshech of the Seudah, just like I'm going to say Al HaNisim, right, even though Purim is over, because HaKol HaLeicha Achar HaSchalas HaSeudah. So one could argue that still is considered a chiluk of the same Seuda, but nonetheless, that's what Reb Feivel Cohen paskins. Now,
some say B'davka to continue the Purim Seuda.
Some say B'davka to continue because the last Rambam Hilchos Purim says Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid, and Rav Huttner is very makbid to keep on going as you possibly can. That's like V'chaim Berliners. We're talking normal Judaism, right? Normal Judaism.
Yeah,
I think
you could start. You could have the
Ikar
Seuda by Yom.
You can have the Ikar Seuda by Yom, and but I think the practice that some people have of just eating a tiny bit b'yom is probably improper, absolutely, but okay, yesh lo dun, in terms of this minhag, whether you're allowed to eat meat after nightfall in this situation, if you're going to the mikvah, motzei Purim. The Shevet HaLevi and the Sefer Pri Tahara both quote that this halach of not eating meat is because meat gets lodged in your teeth, and who had in other food that might get lodged in your teeth you should not eat before you go to the mikvah. The examples that they can think of are popcorn and corn on the cob. Popcorn mamish, like, can remain in your teeth for months after, no? It's unbelievable. So probably you should not eat popcorn the day before you go to the mikvah. Some say that you should never eat popcorn. That's a different discussion. Now, there is another minhag that's quoted here in the Ramah, not to eat bein harechitza l'tvila, not to eat anything, not just meat. You should not eat anything between the rechitza and tvila. This is also the Russian Hilchos Nida, also the minhag shenahagu hanoshem. In the Sidrei Tahara, Os Mem Tes, he is more machmir on this minhag than he is on the earlier minhag. The earlier minhag of not eating meat the day you go to the mikvah, so we're mekol l'tzeirich mitzvah. Even the minhag, let's say, of not kneading dough, we're mekol l'tzeirich mitzvah if I'm kneading challah. But the minhag of not eating bein harechitza l'tevila, so that minhag is assumed to be a more serious minhag, and you cannot eat even l'tzorech mitzvah. So this shaila, actually, I got a few weeks ago, no? There was a woman in town whose parents were over for Shabbos. Her parents were not really religious, and they're elderly, and basically what they wanted to do was have a very early Shabbos meal, and then, right, she would go to the mikvah after the meal. This shaila does come up more often in the summer, if you make early Shabbos, no? So you did a chafifa on Friday, and then you're making early Shabbos. Can you eat at the early Shabbos meal? Right, so the pashtus in the Ramah is that you should not be able to eat in this situation, correct? That's what the Ramah says. This woman wanted to have an early Shabbos meal, and then like her parents would go to sleep or something, and then she'd go out to the mikvah at the normal time. Would that be permitted? So I looked around in the Sfarim, and Rav Wozner, Shevet HaLevi, page 336, writes that Bishas HaDechak, that if sheyimanu misu'ud zman rav, if they are going to be delayed a long time from the su'uda, or you're embarrassed, for example, they're kids and they will notice that you're not eating anything, so you're allowed to eat, but you should still not eat meat. In other words, the basic idea that Rav Wozner is saying is that since the makar hadin is only as a minhag yafa that's quoted in the Rush, so memela you could be mekel in a shas hadchak situation to eat bein chafifa l'tevila, but you should still not eat meat in that case. That's the way he says it. Now, I'm not exactly sure why you should not eat meat, because l'maisa, eating meat is also just a minhag yafa that the Rush quotes, but nonetheless, that's the psak of Rav Wozner. Now, one of the issues that comes up in situations like this is I'm not supposed to eat meat because I'm going to the mikveh that night. Well, I'm not supposed to eat anything. Bein chafifa l'tevila. Yeah, I'll take your question.
That could still be embarrassing because you're not eating meat.
Right, so it could still be embarrassing. That's fine. That's the question I want to talk about now. L'maisa, so people are going to notice that you're not eating meat. So they're going to notice that you're not eating meat. So A, it could be embarrassing. No saf al kaf, it should be embarrassed. That could be embarrassing. The Rama writes all the way at the end of our simen, in Se'if Mem Ches, that Nahagu Hanoshim Lahastir Leal Tevilason, that the minig is that women hide when they go to the mikvah. That you don't publicize. Don't put it on Facebook. I'm going to the mikvah tonight. No. That's really not particularly appropriate. That type of information does not belong on Facebook. Noach?
Is all meat created equal?
Is what?
Is all meat like chicken or ground beef?
So chicken, we assume the minig applies. Ground beef from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that even though hasvar no senes, that shouldn't really apply, it doesn't get lodged in the teeth, nonetheless it does apply to ground meat. However, shuman shel basar, the minig does not apply to. Or marak, like chicken soup, or chicken fat, or meat soup, whatever, marak or shuman, it does not apply to. The basic reason is that if you go through your Yerdei Simen Pei test, the two different reasons, so by some foods, like marak, you only have the reason of Moshech Tam. You don't have the reason of Basar Ben Hashinayim, obviously, no? Our case, we're only worried about the reason of Basar Ben Hashinayim in Simen Pei Tes. So anytime you have only one of those reasons, so the din would, this din would not apply. That seems to be the rationale. Tiny little pieces of meat, nonetheless, it's almost like a little plug in the meat. If it's ground up meat, it's like a little plug. I think that's how Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying it.
What about liver?
What about liver?
Dam and not basar.
What?
Which may be dam and not basar.
Okay, I think we treat liver like it's considered a meat for these purposes also, right? The minig is that we wait 6 hours after liver. No? I think so. Okay, now. So if I'm not going to be eating meat, or I'm not going to be eating anything, won't people notice I'm supposed to be going to the mikveh tonight? And that's l'cha'ora, a violation of this practice, that sarech lahastir leil tevilasa. So Reb Feivel Cohen in Se'if Chaf Dalid deals with this issue. Reb Feivel has the following suggestion. He thinks that lahastir leil tevilasa means only that you should... that while you're going to the mikveh, you should be quiet about it. But if people can figure out that you're going to go to the mikveh later tonight, he thinks that is okay. That's his cheshbin. Right? People are going to know that I'm going later tonight, but I'm not going right now. So in that case, he feels that's not a violation of lahastir leil tevilasa. That's what he has in the Badi HaShulchan on page Nun Beis. In the Shevet Halevi on page Shin Nun Vav, he has a slightly different cheshbin. His cheshbin is that lahastir leil tevilasa just means that you shouldn't do it befumbi, you shouldn't publicize it. But if Eza Yechidim know about it, if individuals know that you're going to the mikvah, so that's not going to be a problem in this situation. Right? Mashal Mahadav Radome, you're spending a Shabbos at your parents, at your in-laws, and you have to go to the mikvah. These days are always like disaster lands. So what do you do? So generally the thing to do in these situations is that you tell one person that I'm going to be going to the mikveh, and in that way you can come with some sort of alibi, some sort of excuse that like people won't know exactly what you're doing, but one person has to know. That's usually the best way. Usually the best idea is that the woman, the wife, should tell her mother or something. And people are smart, like, okay, got it, you know, been there, done that, like, they understand what this is all about. That's usually the Eitzah, and that is what the Shevet HaLevi says. So Shevet HaLevi quotes a tshuva of Mahari Asad. Mahari Asad was one of those Moravian rabbis who was a major opponent of Rabbeinu Hirsch, no? In the tshuva, Mahari Asad, that's why he was, right, there's Reb Shlomo Kvetch and Mahari Asad. I think Reb Hirsch has two major opponents, correct? No one knows anything about Reb Shlomo Kvetch other than he was an opponent of Reb Hirsch. Mahari Asad actually was a very big Talmud Chacham. And his beautiful tshuva. So Mahari Asad has a case about a woman who had a store. And if she's going to have to close her store early in order to go to the mikvah, so the whole town's going to know that she's going to the mikvah. So are you allowed to delay going to the mikveh to Friday night when obviously the store is not open Friday night because you're an Orthodox Jewish woman and the store is not open Friday night? So can you do that? So Mahari Asad is meikel, go to the mikveh on Friday night, etc. Because in that situation, that would be something that's mamish mefor sam lakol. That's his basic cheshbon. Okay, what? That if the woman is going to go to the mikvah the regular night when she goes to the mikvah, let's say on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, so then people are going to say, hey, Shandel's not in her store. Why is Shandel not in the store? Oh, she's probably in the mikvah. The only time Shandel's not in the store is when she's going to the mikvah. And then the whole town would know that Shandel's going to the mikvah. So that would be, we're going to be makel and allow you to delay tevila until Friday night, even though there's a minig that we quoted in the Ramah earlier, not to go to the mikvah Friday night if you could have gone earlier. Mahari Asad is meikel in this case. Now, Reb Feivel Cohen on page Kuf Tes in the Badei HaShulchan has a suggestion which I think is more radical than the other suggestions. He tines that since the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Tes and Chaf says that God will cover Habriyos at Tzlecha Loisa Asei Midrabanon, right? So Memeo Koshe can cover Habriyos is going to be Doche a Minhag Ba'alma, and if you're genuinely embarrassed by not eating the meat, or by not eating bein chafifa le tevila, so it'll be an issue of kavod habrius, and you could be make on that situation. Azoy shteit in the Badei HaShulchan on page Kuf Tes. Now, when I read this, I began to pull out my hair and to scream, because this sounds like a svara that Professor Sperber says, not a svara that Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Meaning to say that, Professor Sperber has a famous argument that women can get alios in unser Zeit, because the Gemara says Isha lo tikra mipnei kaved hatzipor, but the kaved habriel, so the insult to women by not being able to get aliyahs, is a more important halacha category. It's a category that trumps the kaved hatzipor. That's Professor Sperber's argument, correct? Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, Igros Moshe and Chelak Bei Simin Ayin Zayin, discusses the famous case that, let's say you're out with a bunch of couples, and you know one of the harchakos between the husband and the wife when she's in need is that you shouldn't pass stuff to her, she shouldn't pass stuff to you. So you're out with a bunch of couples, and everyone is helping their wife on with their coat, because you're going out to the movie, and that's like standard, you know, chivalry, right? That's what's going on. That's like normal. And you're going to not put your wife's coat on. And everyone's going to realize, because you're not putting her coat on, obviously she's a nidan. That's why you're not helping her with her coat. So do we assume that that's considered kaved habrios, that can overcome this harchaka? Right? Because a kaved habrios can overcome a drabonon, certainly can overcome this type of harchaka, which might be a lower level drabonon, as we'll learn when we do kuf tzadihe. So Moshe Feinstein says, kaved habrios! Kaved habrios when there's something that's different about me. But every woman on the planet, pretty much, is a nida for 12 days a month. So there's nothing that's unusual about you, that you're a nida now. So that's not a kavod habrios issue, Zakt Rav Moshe, and therefore you can't be meka out kavod habrios. Ad kan divrei Rav Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe is obviously against Professor Sperber, no? Because Professor Sperber is saying that if there's something that's part of the condition, if women, by definition, feel slighted, they can't get aliyos, that's called kavod habrios. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein would laugh at that svara. Rav Moshe would say, that's not true. That's not kavod habrios. Kavod habrios is when there's something that's different about me. When I, as an individual, have something that is strange and unusual. That's kavod habrios. Rav Feivel Cohen's very here on page Kuf Tes, that there's a kavod habrios issue. If I'm embarrassed, Rav Moshe, I think, in that tshuva, would clearly disagree with it. What am I embarrassed about? That I'm a nida? Every woman's a nida at some point. What's the big deal? That's not something that's unique to you. Rav Moshe would say, eh! Yeah, so I'm surprised that even though Reb Feivel quotes the Reb Moshe in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei Os Chaf Daled, but here in Kuf Tzadi Ches, on page Kuf Tes, he suggests this verse. It seems to me like these points contradict each other. Josh?
Rav Moshe's, why isn't you think that the circumstance of being out of dinner is a unique circumstance?
So, I think the idea is that we look at why are you embarrassed. You're embarrassed that you're a nida. And everyone's a nida, so it's nothing to be embarrassed about.
She's not embarrassed of her husband not helping her put on her coat
when they're in private. Right. So I think what he would say is it's not a unique circumstance because it could happen to everybody. Everybody at some point in their nida cycle is going to be out in some sort of public arrangement. That always happens all the time, and it's nothing to be embarrassed about. I'd be proud of your religion.
I mean, like everyone goes to the bathroom on Shabbos. Like, it's like the rocks.
Right, so the kavod habrios. So I think there are certain things which are considered a bezayon to people. It's like an insult to their human dignity. No one is saying that this rises to that level. Again, we have to go through the kavod habrios issues more carefully. Right, the rocks issue and wiping yourself on Shabbos, obviously. But I think that would be more of a bezayon to people to walk around that way. So yeah. That's my understanding. You had a comment before, Noah?
Yeah. we did see with Srach Bita that, you know, like it's assumed that the Shechinos or the
people know about it.
Know.
Yeah, so, right. So, again, that's one of the rayas that Rav Moshe has and the Shevet HaLevi has. A few people knowing is obviously not going to be a problem, either the minhug of Lahasti Leo to Vilasa, or it's not a problem of it's just not considered tzniyistic. Remember, at the time of Chazal, a nida would wear special begadim, no? A nida would wear special begadim. So everybody knew that she's a nida.
She
wouldn't
leave her house.
What? She wouldn't leave
the house.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Again, we have to really do some more research, but these are some of the issues. Now, when I had the shot a few weeks ago, the woman who wanted to eat the early Shabbos meal. So I spoke to Rabbi Neuberger, and Rabbi Neuberger, without knowing the Sheva Halevi, says this, like said the same chesh. He goes, yeah, it's only a chumer for the Rishonim, a chumer that's found in the Rush. So therefore, he felt there's room to be mekel in a situation like this with her parents over, etc. But then he said, and by the way, tell her just to brush her teeth carefully after the meal. Right now, we in YU hold that you're allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos. That's the basic cheshbet, no? If you look in the Shmir Shas Kilchasa, he says that there's a minig not to brush teeth. There was an article, I think, that Aryeh Leibowitz once wrote in the RJJ journal. In Yeshiva, we assume Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Nefesh HaRav and the Mepnine HaRav, one of the books about Herb, that Soloveitchik is quoted as saying that you're allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos. Anyone who assumes that there's an issur memareach, what memareach is there? It's not really a psik reishi that you're going to bleed. Again, for some people, it might be a psik reishi. Some people mamish bleed every single time they brush their teeth, so they should probably see a dentist and should like work through that issue. But if you bleed every time you brush your teeth, so then it would be a psik reishi. But short of that, brushing the teeth on Shabbos is not a problem. So you should tell people that you brush your teeth for this issue. Now, this issue, this cleaning the teeth before you go to the mikvah. So the discussion is using dental floss. Now, dental floss on the one hand is great because it cleans out the teeth very well, and there won't be any etzem bein shineha, obviously. But the problem with dental floss is that sometimes the dental floss can rip, and then the dental floss itself gets stuck in your teeth. So one time I was sitting on Dr. Gutman's chair in the neighborhood, so he asked me like what type of dental floss I tell women to use. I told them because I'm on the chair, I can't really talk. So then he gave this whole judgment about how there are two types of dental floss. There is like the wax coated dental floss, which is more likely to leave residue, and the other type of dental floss, which isn't. He said that he's not really worried that the dental floss, a piece of dental floss, will actually rip. If you know how to use a dental floss properly, it won't rip and get stuck between your teeth. But the wax-coated dental floss, he said, will leave like some wax residue between the teeth, and that would be more of a problem. Again, you can speak to Dr. Gutman. He's one of our local... He's the dentist who's on call for dental emergencies in Yeshiva. He's a great guy. He dives in prayers. He's a wonderful dentist. You can speak to him and get his whole drush about the different types of dental floss. Okay. Let's go on. Se'if chaf hei basically speaks about this issue, that if a woman was not meidicha beis ha sesarim beis ha kmatim, and then you find a davar chotzeitz, so then the tevila is no good. That's the case of Amsa de Be'rebi. Apparently she didn't check to see if she had a bone lodged between her teeth. If you find the bone lodged between the teeth after, lo also a tevila. But if you didn't check before you go to the mikveh and you don't find anything afterwards, so then it is also la tevila. And zakne machabe eno dome la bedikas hagufa chafifas harosh. If a woman goes to the mikveh and didn't comb her hair in advance, so we assume that even if you don't find anything after, lo also la tevila. Chazal instituted a din of chafifa. If you didn't do the chafifa, the tevila is no good. But in this case, by the beis hasesarim, by the areas that are inside the body, if you didn't do the chafifa equivalent of hadacha, you didn't rinse it out properly, but you find nothing after, then the tevila is good. Sifcha Vav tells us, if you didn't do the chafifa after, if you didn't, excuse me, do the chafifa beforehand, and afterwards you are oisek with a dover that could be a chatzitza, and then you find it between your teeth. In other words, you come out of the mikvah and you eat some popcorn, and then you find some stuff, some gunk between your teeth. So you can attribute that the gunk that you found between the teeth came from the popcorn, and osa la tevila. Right? That is the din in Se'if Chafvav. Again, this is not like the halacha of the guf. By the guf, we're more machmir and kol shalo budka before the tevila. If you didn't do the chafifa before the tevila, lo osa la tevila, clear across the board. That's the din by the guf. But by the beis hasesarim, by the teeth, which is the inner orifices of the body, so in those situations it will be also la tevila if you find nothing after, and if you were oisek in something, then also it is also la tevila. Now, the just a word of information, the Shach in Sifkat Lamed Gimel quotes that the Sefer HaRokeach disagrees with this din, and the Sefer HaRokeach says that you have to be machmir. According to the Rokeach, that if you were osik with something after you went to the mikvah, you ate popcorn, and then you find some stuff between your teeth, so the Sefer Rokeach says, lo osol tevila, and the Shah Paskins yesh lahachmir, like the Sefer Rokeach. Now, this entire issue probably gets down to the question of chatzitza bebeis hasesarim. There is a machlekes between Tosfos and the Ritva as to whether chatzitza bebeis hasesarim is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. Gemara and Samach Vav and Bebeis, Kedushin Chaf Hei, Chul and Pei Gimel, many places in Shas, it says that the halacha is that the beis hasesarim, the inner areas of the body, do not require bi'as mayim. But it requires ro'i l'bi'as mayim, meaning water does not actually have to get there. We learn from a pasuk of v'rachatz es gufo, gufo b'mayim or something. So ma gufo me avrei, v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim, ma b'saro me avrei, just like your skin on the outside. Also, chatzitzas have to be on the outside. A chatzitza on the inside is not the same type of chatzitza, but a chatzitza on the inside is a problem if it's eno ro'i l'bi'as mayim. That's the way the Gemara says it, and it's based on the din of Reb Zera of Kosher Roi Labila Bila Ma Kevespo. Tosus understands in all of these mesechtas that the requirement of Roi Labias Mayim is a din to Oraisa. Tosus says that if you have a chatzitza, like a bone between the teeth, right, a chatzitza inside the body and the base has a sarim, so that's a psul min ha-Torah. And Tosus learns out from Psukim, it discusses when there's shina lava kasava akev and not. And Tosus says, well, if you really require royal bias mayim, how come we don't require that you open your mouth before your tovo? So Tosus says, the chiddush, that there is no such thing as l'chatchila do'iraisa by a matir, only by a mitzvah. This is like Rabbi Schechter, one of Rabbi Schechter's 10 favorites to Klach Torah, no? That the din l'chatchila is only formulated by mitzvos, by a matir, going to the mikvah. So you don't go to the mikvah. It's not a real mitzvah that you have to go. As such, there's no l'chatchila that you have to open your mouth. That's what Tosfos says. Ritva in Kedushin on Chaf Hei paskins that ro'oi l'bias mayim is a din d'rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, there's no such thing as chatzitza at all, because chatzitza is only in the outer surfaces of the body. Mid-Rabbonon, we say, there is a chatzitza, because since le'inyan kabbalas tuma, we assume that beis ha-sesarim is dino ke bachutz, so also le'inyan chatzitza, beis ha-sesarim is dino ke lachutz, but that's a din d'Rabbonon according to the Ritva. So how do I paskin the machlokes, Tosus and the Ritva? How do I paskin? So the Pashtus, the Sidrei Tahara, notes in Lais Nun Aleph that all of these Se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Chaf Hei and Se'if Chaf Vav, that says that if you didn't do the Iyun before you went to the Mikvah, and then you find nothing after, so it's not a problem. Even if you find something after, it's not a problem. If you were Osek in something that could be a Chatzitza, that seems to indicate that we are more Mekal on Chafifa, on the Hadacha, the Beis HaSesarim, than we are on the Guf. And that's probably because the Ritva is correct, Zuch Nesidrei Tahara, that these dinim are dinim d'Rabbanan, not dinim d'Oraisa. That's the Sidrei Tahara's Hanacha. Then the Sidrei Tahara says, no, even if it's a din d'Oraisa, he thinks maybe we're more Mekel, because since you see the Beis HaSesarim, that you don't need actual Beis Mayim, you see the Torah is more Mekel, so maybe the Torah is Mekel in the type of Chatzitza also, and he doesn't really explain why this would be true. The Sidrei Tahara does not explain why this would be true. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, you should know, in Simen Tzadiches, Anaf Beis, Rav Moshe Feinstein has the following idea. Zot Rav Moshe, first of all, that you have to paskin like, or Shulchan Aruch has to paskin like Tosfos, not like the Ritva. And his raya, I think, is a very elegant raya. He says, read the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef only quotes Tosfos, he never quotes the Ritva. The Beis Yosef never quotes the Ritva. Let me say that again. Okay, that's pretty clear. Meaning, the Beis Yosef only quotes those opinions that Ro'i L'Bias Mayim Sedin Doi Raisa. He never quotes opinions that Sedin Rabbanan. So it's not Yitachin that the Beis Yosef is Meiko assuming that Sedin Rabbanan. So what's the pshat? How come we are Meiko on these Chatzitzas in the Beis HaSesarim? If it's a din d'oraisa, how come we assume that if you did not do the chafifa and you don't find anything, it's still going to be okay, when by the guf we're machmir? So Zot Rav Moshe, he feels that there is a, that the definition of chatzitza b'beis hasesarim is different than the definition of chatzitza b'sha'ar haguf. Chatzitza b'beis hasesarim, Moshe develops a theory, is only if it is davuk, only if it is stuck and attached and adhered to you. But if it's just there and not stuck, So then it is not a chatzitza. Amsa de Rebbe went to the mikvah and she found an etzem bein shinehal. When the bone is inside my teeth, the bone is mamish lodged in the teeth. It's tight inside. So that is mamish a chatzitza because that is davuk. But short of being davuk, Zakhtar Moshe, there's no such thing as chatzitza beveis hasisarim. As such, we understand why if I go to the mikvah without doing a hadocha beforehand, without checking myself beforehand, I don't find anything after. How come we are makel when by the guf we're machmir, even though they're both dinim d'oraisa, Zaktrev Moshe, because since the type of chatzitza on the base hasisarim is only when it's davuk, so if it would have been davuk, there ain't no way it would have come out when you were in the mikvah. When we're talking about a chatzitza on the guf, so the pshat is, if I didn't check myself beforehand, and I come out and there's no chatzitza afterwards, you say, go again. Why? Because we're worried that maybe the chatzitza was there when you went onto the mikvah and came out after. But a chatzitza in the beis hasisarim, which by definition is only if it's davuk, such a chatzitza, says Rav Moshe, could not possibly come out after. That's why we are mekel. The Shach in Ois Lamed Beis hints at this idea. The Aruch HaShulchan in Os Nun Vav says this idea clearly. And not with the same elaboration, that's a different type of chatzitza. If you look in the Sidrei Tahara and Oschaf Gimel, quotes from the Tshuva Zichron Yosef, that's also referred to in the Pesach Tshuva Tes Zayin, the Zichron Yosef basically assumes that there is no such thing as chatzitza in the Beis HaSesarim. The din of chatzitza does not exist in the Beis HaSesarim. We began the Sheurim on Kuktzad Yifes by noting that there's two dinim. There's a din d'oraisa of bias mayim, rachatzas kovas arava mayim. Even if I have one tiny pinky out of my water, right, that's not tevila min haTorah. And then there's another din of chatzitza, which means that even though there is bias mayim, right, the water, I'm kol kuli inside the water, but there's an impediment, and that's called a chatzitza. And we pointed out the extreme formulations as Rabosav Shor Rashi, that even though the water is mamish getting to you, still it's going to be a chatzitza. Why there's a din chatzitza? Right, chatzitza is not a violation of bias. Chatzitza doesn't mean that there's no bias mayim. Chatzitza is a din chatzitza, right? Zakhtre Moshe, that's only true on the chatzitzas outside the body. Chatzitzas in the Beis HaSesarim is only a chatzitza if it is davuk. Because a chatzitza in the Beis HaSesarim, and that's what the Zichron Yosef says, and that's what Rav Moshe is saying, chatzitza Beis HaSesarim is really a lack of bias mayim. The Sidrei Tahara does not like this in a big sort of way. The Sidrei Tahara says, what are you talking about? Chatzitza is chatzitza. The etzem ben shineha presumably wasn't so large in the mouth. Right? He writes, kol devarav einam nechainam. Right? The whole discussion the Zichron Yosef is run, Zichron Yosef tries to prove this from Kartza Sifso Seha. We spoke about Kartza Sifso Seha. Like if you put your teeth together, is that a lack of bias mayim, or is that a chatzitza, etc. You can look in the Sidrei Tahara and Oischof Gimel, he machs avek with the entire approach, but Rav Moshe seems to hold like this approach that's found in the Zichron Yosef. Now, this issue, of course, is what obviously the whole discussion when the Shach is machmir in Oislamic Gimel, that even if I was osik in something afterwards, but if I find a chatzitza, then the rokeah says yesh lahachmir. That sounds more like it's a din d'oraisa. That seems to be the maskana of the Shach. Whether the Shach in Lamed Beis contradicts the Shach in Lamed Gimel requires a little more explanation. Now, Rav Moshe in his tshuva speaks about the following case, which I once had this shaila. No, a woman who had a very severe case of swimmer's ear. Swimmer's ear basically means that you can't get any water into the ear. There, sometimes it's like a hole in the eardrum, and it could be very painful. Rachman Otsai could lead to very serious illness if you get any water in the ear. What does such a woman do about going to the mikvah? What does such a woman do about going to the mikvah? Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a mekel in his tshuva. He thinks that you can stick a wad of cotton into the ear and go to the mikvah that way, because, Zakhtar Moshe, according to his cheshbon, the inner ear is only a beis hasesarim. By beis hasesarim, it's not a chatzitza unless it is davuk. You just stick the cotton in your ear, so it's not going to be a problem. Now, the problem with Rav Moshe's eitzah is just very practical. You see, I don't know if you've ever put cotton in water, but the cotton gets wet. If you're really worried that any drop of water can penetrate the inner ear and can cause illness, sickness, bad stuff happening, so then putting a thing of cotton into the inner ear would probably not solve much of the problem. Again, it depends how bad the swimmer's ear is. If the swimmer's ear is bad enough just that you don't want water to get there, but it's mamish, not going to be dangerous, okay, so maybe it could be makel. But if it's a real serious case, so then it won't help. So what do we do in these cases? So one time, one year, I was away on vacation. I'm up in Maine, and I get a phone call on my cell phone. So I try not to take phone calls, I'm sure, when I'm up in Maine. But this call was from Atara Ice, who then was the Yoetzet in the show. So she tells me that there's a woman that's supposed to be going to the mikveh that night, and she had this very bad ear thing, and she heard that Abby Lerner told her in the name of Dr. Alan Goldstein. Dr. Alan Goldstein is by the way of Schechter's doctor, who was a Talmud of the Rav. Now, Abby Lerner told her in the name of Dr. Alan Goldstein that the Rav said that you can stick the wad of cotton in fish oil, and then there's not going to be a problem of chatzitza, because the Mishnayos say that davish briyoso min hamayim has a din of mayim, and fish is considered briyoso min hamayim. Memela is not going to be a chatzitza, and you could do it that way. And the fish oil, apparently, if you surround the cotton ball in the fish oil enough, so then water won't possibly penetrate it, and shalom Yisrael, it's going to be great. So I'm in Maine. I have no svarim with me, obviously. I say, this doesn't sound right. The issue of briyasa min hamayim is the fish skin, not the fish oil. Fish oil is considered seer dagim, which Tosfos says we have a separate pasuk for, rather than the dag atzmo, right? In other words, even if the dag tamei is treif min ha-tayre, tzir dagim requires a special pasuk. I'm like, I don't think fish oil. And if I remembered correctly, I wrote in that email that when Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this whole fish thing, he was like laughing. He spoke about it, but he wasn't like taking it so seriously. It happens that in the Sefer Shari Tevila in Simen Mem Aleph, I found this after when I had access to Sfarim, the Shari Tevila is mako on the fish oil thing. Then Abby Lerner got in touch with Dr. Goldstein. Dr. Goldstein said that the Rav was not mako on this, Rav Moshe was mako on this. That made more sense to me. I think Rav Moshe would have been mako on just a plain cotton ball in the ear also, because it's not davuk. Right, so the Rav and the Mosi, you can use fish oil, you're not going to lose anything. But that made more sense to me. I wasn't sure that the Rav was making on this. The Chazon Ish in Tzadi Dalet Osches, the Chazon Ish is mesupik about what to do in situations like this. When you have the very bad case of the ear, he says, listen, it's a situation that if we're not going to come with some eitzah, this one's going to be asura al baila la olam, so we have to come with some kula. But he has like 10 sarachiyuns in that paragraph. It sounds like the Chazon Ish isn't really not so into this kula. Reb David Cohen felt that you could be mako on briyaso min hamayim, but briyaso min hamayim means if you have earplugs that are made out of fish skin. That's briyasa min hamayim. I thought that's really mistaber, that's called briyasa min hamayim. I was not convinced that the fish oil would be briyasa min hamayim. L'maisa, the Chazon Ish, when he was make on it, he was make on any oil, not only fish oil. He was make even olive oil and the like, based on the din of hashaka by mikvah'is. And not based on Briyasa min Hamayim. So that was the whole story with the earplugs. These are very serious shailas when they come up, and they always come up exactly at the time that you have no Sfarim with you. That is one of the basic lessons in Judaism. Now, the last thing to discuss, which is a very important conversation, is although the din is that Beis HaSesarim requires Ro'i L'Bias Mayim, there is an area that is even more inner than Beis HaSesarim, which is called Balua, and Balua does not even require Ro'i L'Bias Mayim. We could see this from the din of the kites. If you'd Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, if I have a thorn or an arrow, right? We spoke about shooting Josh. If you have a thorn or an arrow that is mamish inside the body, right? Or we had the case in Se'if Yud Tes, Napach al Mokom HaTziporen. If the finger begins to grow, so the stuff under, to grow like tissue on top, the stuff underneath it, right? That's not a chatzitza at all. That's called balua. That's mamish inside the body. A pacemaker is not a chatzitza, no? It's inside my body. What's for a chatzitza is dust? It's balua. Now, based on the sarim versus balua, where you draw the line is not so pashut. Maybe we should give one more share just to discuss nuvaring. Because nuvaring is awesome. That's like a halachic conversation. And part of the question is where exactly the nuvaring is. And the Osam Makom Shebi Isha, what area is considered Beis HaSesarim? What area is considered Balua? Ayin Art Scroll, page 301. He talks about it. Right, Rebbe Kiva Eger talks about this, and Ois Beis and Rebbe Kiva Eger, in the context of the nose. He says that a woman should like clean her nose before she goes to the mikvah, but only the area towards the outside of the nose. The stuff that's far up in the nose, you don't have to clean. Right? Now, where do you draw the line? Right? What's considered Beis HaSesarim that requires Ro'i L'Bias Mayim, and you have to get rid of all the mucus in your nose? And what's considered Balua? How far up do you go? I don't think anyone gives a measurement of like the first centimeter or anything beyond that or something like that. That would be a little bit gross. But these are very important shailos halacha l'maisa that perhaps we should discuss. I love chatzitza. Unfortunately, we have to move on. Okay, thank you for listening.